Good afternoon, and welcome to the Rockville Financial third quarter 2011 earnings conference call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. Please note this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Marlee Shaw, VP, Investor Relations Officer. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our third quarter conference call. Before we begin, we would like to remind you to read our safe harbor advisement on forward-looking statements on our earnings announcement. Forward-looking statements, by their nature, are subject to risks and uncertainties. Certain factors could cause actual results to differ materially from expected results. Our comments today are intended to qualify for the safe harbor afforded by that advisement. Now I would like to introduce Bill Crawford, our Chief Executive Officer and President.
Good afternoon, and thanks to everyone for joining us. The management team at Rockville Financial is committed to timely and transparent communication with the investor and analyst community, which is the reason why we're introducing earnings calls at this time. With me this afternoon is John Lund, our Chief Financial Officer, along with other members of our management team. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the entire Rockville team for delivering another quarter of superior customer service and outstanding asset quality. This has been a key to our success for many years. I'm very pleased to report that the company had a record quarter, having begun to realize the net interest income benefit of the second quarter 2011 balance sheet restructure and our continued focus on decreasing total funding costs and growing low-cost core deposits. In addition to achieving deposit growth, we are seeing solid momentum in our commercial loan and mortgage loan pipelines. We made meaningful adds to staff in risk management, information technology, finance, branch administration, and commercial banking. The new Alliance-First Niagara merger created a unique opportunity for Rockville to attract experienced local banking talent in a short period of time and without the use of an executive recruiting firm. Our commercial banking team added eight individuals with an average of 25 years of experience, most of that in the local market, while the other members that have joined us average about 23 years in experience. We feel great about the individuals we've recruited to our team. Having made a significant investment in the company's human capital infrastructure, management is currently in the process of completing a comprehensive enterprise-wide multi-year strategic plan with our board of directors, which we expect to be finalized in December. At Rockville, we remain focused on driving organic growth and executing on sound capital management principles. We look forward to March 2012, when we're permitted to repurchase shares. At September 30th, 2011, Rockville's closing price was $9.48. Tangible book value was $11.32. Therefore, price to tangible book value was 84% at that time. In the third quarter, we made a substantial investment in our future via adds to staff while generating record earnings. This speaks to the earnings power of Rockville Financial. We remain focused on providing superior customer service, serving our communities, financial discipline, and asset quality. These remain the keys to Rockville Bank's formula of success as we continue our mission as Connecticut's best community bank. At this time, I'm going to ask John to provide some further detail on the quarter's results.
Thank you, Bill, and good afternoon, everyone. I would like to comment firstly that the company is taking a walk before you can run approach to the earnings release and earnings call presentation. Our goal is to always have a good relationship with our analysts and investors and to provide transparency in our disclosures. Therefore, you can expect expansion and more transparency in the presentation as the quarters transpire. With that said, I will take a few minutes to describe the quarterly results and then would like to open up the call for questions following my remarks. As Bill indicated, the company reported record earnings in the third quarter 2011. Net income for the quarter ended September 30, 2011, of $4.1 million, or 14 cents per share, represents our first quarter this year without significant one-time expense events. Improvements in the cost of funding was a major factor impacting the quarterly results, particularly due to the company's extinguishment at the end of the second quarter of $122.2 million of Federal Home Loan Bank advances with a weighted average cost of 4.17%. Decreasing the cost of funding across all sources will continue to be a key focus for the company going forward. The net interest margin was also influenced by the decline in the cost of funds and improved to 3.70% from the quarter, from 3.53% during the same quarter in 2010, and improved from 3.08% in the prior quarter. Net interest income has benefited from continued organic growth in both loans and deposits. Net loans have increased by $35 million during the year to $1.4 billion, contributing to a 6.9% compound annual growth rate over the last 5 years. Deposits have increased by $78 million during the year to $1.3 billion, contributing to an 8% compound annual growth rate in that portfolio over the last 5 years. Fees have decreased due to the lower residential mortgage volume at the bank subsidiary, Rockville Bank Mortgage, Inc., and also lower secondary mortgage sales activity at the bank. Expenses were up in the quarter, primarily due to the $1.1 million increase in salaries and employee benefits expense related to the investment in the company is making in its human capital and infrastructure to prepare for future growth. Specifically, the company has reported staffing expansions in the risk management, information technology, finance, branch administration, and commercial banking areas. Despite the additional staffing, non-interest expense as a percent of average assets is reported at 2.44% for the third quarter 2011. The company has paid dividends for 21 consecutive quarters. The dividend payout ratio for the quarter ended September 30, 2011 was 51%. Stock buybacks will become available as an option at the end of Q1 2012 per State of Connecticut Department of Banking Mutual Conversion Banking Regulations. To conclude, we are pleased with the strong operating results for the quarter and the resulting robust net interest margin. Going forward, we continue to focus on prudent growth, maintaining asset quality, and on seeking opportunities to decrease the cost of funds. Thank you, and now Bill and I would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star and then two. At this time, we will pause to assemble our roster. Our first question comes from Damon DelMonte at KBW.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. How are you?
Hey, Damon.
Hello. I guess I'd start off with my first question regarding the margin. Quite a nice bump this quarter, obviously reflective of the restructuring that you did last quarter. Can you kind of help us think about the margin as we go forward? I mean, I can't imagine you have such a large increase again going forward, but maybe you just give us a little guidance.
John, I'll let you take that one.
Yeah, I think from the restructure standpoint, certainly we have some benefit there. And we do have a number of FHLB advances that we're going to be paying off in the fourth quarter. Those will total approximately $29 million, with a weighted average rate on those about 3.6. So I think directionally that'll help. And certainly, as we mentioned in our prepared comments, you know, driving down cost of funds on the retail side as well as an emphasis for the company. So,
okay. So it sounds like we can expect a continued positive trend in the margin then.
I would say that statement is reasonable.
Okay, great. And then on the expense front, it looks like linked quarter, not really a material change on the operating expense line. If you back out the non-recurring expense from last quarter, what can we expect in the way of the new salaries from all these hires this quarter, and how that's going to impact the fourth quarter?
Well, certainly, as we said in our prepared marks, the bulk of the expense increase for this quarter was in salary and employee benefits expense. There wasn't any one-time items, so I think from a quarter standpoint, this was fairly clean. But as opportunities present themselves with new hires, we would certainly consider it.
Yeah, and Damon, it's Bill. We feel like we've gotten the big chunks through there, and we still may have some more coming. But obviously, when we think about investing in the company, we also think about how we're going to finance that through growing revenue. And I think you'll see in this quarter we did a nice job of growing revenue to cover that expense run rate build.
Right. Okay. Great. And then the FDIC assessment was a credit this quarter for $29,000. What would you, just from a modeling standpoint, what should we be thinking about going forward?
That was a timing difference. Essentially what happens was, all banks were asked to prepay some years, 3 years in advance. As you know, the FDIC then changed their calculation based on equity. So So yes, you're right. There was a credit from that standpoint. I would expect that was a one-time event. We would not be having to credit ourselves for the timing difference.
Okay. So what's a good run rate then? Is that last quarter's $500,000 a fair level, you think?
Generally speaking, yes.
Okay. That's helpful. And then I guess maybe, Bill, for you, can I kind of help quantify some of your expectations for loan growth now that you've hired, these two teams of commercial lenders?
Yeah. I think it's an interesting opportunity for us. If you look back, we hired the leadership, obviously, of commercial banking for New Alliance, and they had about $500 million in the C&I book and about $1.2 billion in a CRE book, so there's $1.7 billion there of opportunity. Obviously, it takes a while to build those relationships. We're seeing very nice build in our commercial loan pipeline, and we're very optimistic that this is going to work out well. So far, we feel very good about this.
Okay, great. Okay, I'll jump out now and see if there's anybody else that would like to ask a question. Thank you.
Thanks, Damon.
The next question comes from Laurie Hunsinger at Stifel Nicolaus.
Hey, yeah, Laurie. Hi, Bill. Hi, John. Good morning. Yeah, just to follow up on what Damon started with margin, do you have a month-end margin for month of September?
We don't report that in our 10-Q. We report the quarterly average.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the borrowings that you mentioned, the 360 that pay off, where in the quarter will those occur?
They would be front-loaded, I would say, for the most part. So this month is, almost closing, and then November. So I would say they're more front-loaded to the quarter.
They're more front-loaded. Okay. And then just sort of going back through my notes, the restructuring probably was about 30 basis points of your linked quarter pickup?
Approximately.
So then the rest is kind of coming from the fact that you were sitting in cash basically cash from the conversion?
Yeah, I mean, that was the beauty of the trade. We felt as we reduced that opportunity cost of cash earning 0 to 25 and taking down a weighted average cost of 417.
Right.
Yes.
Beautiful. Okay. And then tax rate, obviously dependent a bit on what you make, but right at this run rate, 34.5% is good to use going forward?
Yes, I would say it is.
Okay. And then, I mean, your credit looks great. If there's any way you could just give us an update, the non-performers, the $1 million increase, and obviously, you know, really, again, your credit's great. Where did that fall into, resi or commercial?
This is Mark Kusha speaking. That's primarily residential, the increase there. But, you know, overall, the asset quality, we view as stable and strong.
Okay. And then, again, as we look at your commercial real estate, is there any change in the regional portfolio? It was right around $185 million.
That portfolio did increase over the quarter. The portfolio pays as agreed, and we saw an increase of about $35 million over the quarter.
35 net?
Yes.
Okay, so we're up to 220. And the delinquency is still zero?
Correct.
Okay, and you're still containing it in the Northeast?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. And then the new stuff that you added, you're still keeping that very discounted LTV of less than 60, give or take?
It depends on the loan. There are some full loans in there. In the existing the portfolio that was on the books prior to June 30, and some low LTVs, and that's consistent with what we booked throughout the quarter.
Okay, so do you have an LTV on the new stuff that you added, the $35 million?
Well, the weighted average on the portfolio is about 64%.
64%, okay.
On the entire portfolio. With a 170 coverage.
Okay, and then one last thing, just to go back to something that you opened with, Bill, near and dear to my heart. Share buybacks, you said, I guess, quote, we're committed to repurchase of shares, which we'd like to hear. Any other color on that?
Obviously,
you can't yet, but...
Yeah, I mean, the real issue is we can do this in March. you know, obviously from my perspective, I believe we're undervalued. And when I think about from an operating perspective, we want to be the best bank in our community and the best operator when it comes to what do we do with our excess capital. We want to be the most efficient user of that excess capital. And so obviously buybacks when you're trading below tangible book value is it's a no-brainer, very easy to think about. And, you know, I think about when the buyback opportunities say between 100 and 110% of tangible book value, that's something we ought to be thinking about. So we very much look forward to March, and we want to be very efficient users of capital.
Perfect. Great. Thank you all.
Thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. And our next question comes from Matthew Kelly at Stern AG.
Hey, guys. It's Matt Breese.
Hey, Matt.
Just a quick question on M&A. You know, could you comment on where that, you know, kind of fits into the overall strategy these days?
Yeah, well, when you think about it being an efficient user of excess capital, you know, when we're trading at, 90, 95% of price to tangible book, and you see the average deal in Connecticut or New England at 150% price to tangible book, you know, there's nothing compelling about that for us. And so we are focused on organic growth and share repurchases. You know, somewhere down the road, maybe that will become an effective use of excess capital for us, but that day is not today. And we're, like I said, we are very encouraged with what we think we're going to be able to do organically, and we're committed to be efficient users of capital.
All right. Thanks, guys.
We show no further questions at this time, so this concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Crawford for any closing remarks.
Okay, I just want to thank everybody for joining us. We want to continue with these earnings calls. As we said before, our goal is to provide full and transparent disclosures, and so we really appreciate everybody joining us, and have a great day.
To access the digital replay of this conference, you may dial 1-877-344-7529 or 1-412-317-0088 beginning at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time today. You will be prompted to enter a conference number, which will be 1-000-6044. Please record your name and company when joining. The conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.